The opinions on this show are ours and ours alone.
All information is for entertainment purposes only.
This content is meant for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
To another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
And I'm Peter.
No, you're not. You're a liar.
I am so full of shit. You're so right.
Yeah, you too.
What game are we playing today, John?
We are playing Hex Shards of Fate. And if I do say so myself, this game is kind of dope. And by kind of dope, I mean it's addicting as all get out.
If you've ever even remotely enjoyed Magic the Gathering, you will dig this game.
Yeah, well, before the show, you told me you've already played like 15 hours of it, so...
Yeah, I don't know if everybody had to know that, but but it's true.
That way they'll know what, level of expert to expect.
Well, this is a John-made deck, so...
He's gonna lose every match.
Pretty much. That's, yeah. I'm not promising anything other than that.
So you ready to get into the news?
Can I just say this name out loud?
Oh, yeah.
He's a Tyrannosaurus Hex.
Loved this when I got one for the first time.
Pretty much awesome.
All right, yeah, let's get into the news.
Let's do it!
I can sit here and watch John lose all night.
He's not going to lose. He's got a Tyrannosaurus Hex.
Yeah.
You are about to bust that dude in the mouth, though.
Well, he'll block with this guy.
How many hit points do you start with?
I start with 25 because of my race.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I start with higher than 22 because I'm a bunny, so I get +3 for cuteness to my max health. It's pretty rad. Don't you shake your head.
So, news?
Yes, news. I'm sure our audio listeners appreciate
all this dead air.
Yeah. I'm the one who's supposed to be silent here, all right?
Oh, we thought you were doing the whole show tonight, John.
Yeah, John, what the fuck? Wow, that's a pretty crazy
card.
Where
X is your what?
Where X is your health.
What the...
That's insane.
That's broke.
Google, HTC, and Oculus, and a lot of hardware companies for VR are collaborating to try and set standards for VR interface.
Mm-hmm.
That way there's more cross-platform compatibility. But it doesn't include non-hardware companies, like big ones like Valve, for example, isn't a part of the group.
I thought was a little odd, and they even mentioned it in this article, that Valve wasn't included. Like, you would think that you would want someone that's software, at least one person, or not one person, but one company that's software side, to still be involved in this.
You would think, I mean, but they have HTC, and Valve probably has, since they are collaborating so heavily with Steam and Steam VR, then I'd imagine... that they could communicate through HTC.
Yeah, you're probably right. And HTC, using them so much, probably has Valve's best interests at heart, at least right now.
Probably.
While they're business partners, at least.
Exactly, yeah. at least on this one aspect. But I think it's great the companies are coming together like this and trying to set some industry standards so you don't just have a bunch of companies doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, it should be good for everybody then, mm-hmm. So...
Well, I mean, that way people can get one VR headset and know it's going to be compatible with at least most things.
Right. That there's some common...
ground. Yeah, exactly.
This article also points out that Microsoft isn't involved in this either.
Yeah, which, with them having the HoloLens, I mean, I know that's not VR, it's augmented reality, which is maybe what the deciding factor was, but you would still think that with so many things using Windows that you'd want them involved as well.
But they're a software-only company, just the same as Valve. I mean,
that is true. Yeah.
If that's the mark for getting in there, but again, if you're not hardware, you're not determining how you interface with your product, like with the product. Like, so, Steam isn't designing the interface that they need to implement in their programming for like the game in order to use VR. So if they get all the hardware manufacturers to develop that interface appropriately, then the way that you use any VR would be the same as using any other VR. So it's really not up to Valve,
I guess, that's
to
true.
Make the change that they want in the industry. But I don't think that they're going to... I have serious doubts that the cross-platform thing will go, because they will go through, mainly because I think that it benefits each company to go, oh, this is a PlayStation exclusive VR product, mm-hmm. and we don't want to like use any other VR in PlayStation because they're losing out on an opportunity to make a sale. So, but I mean, that's always been the reasoning behind not making cross-platform multiplayer, for example. They don't want like people playing from Xbox playing against PlayStation, you know.
Because they'd rather make the extra PlayStation sell so you can
play different. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I mean, it's just a money thing. But I really, I mean, I have hope for it. I just don't have, my realistic view of it is, it's kind of blocking me from having high hopes, you know.
Right. I hope it's good, though. Anything that makes VR more
accessible.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I'm also glad that companies are taking VR as seriously as they are, and it's not just a new gimmick, kind of like motion controls were. Because, I mean, like, the PlayStation 3 had motion controls. I had
the Move controllers.
Yeah, does PlayStation 4 have that?
Well, it still uses the Move controllers for the VR. So.
Yeah. Oh, I guess for the VR, the you're right. Yeah, because I guess they do have the VR. But it just seemed like the motion controls for games that at least aren't VR seem kind of gimmicky, with the Wii doing it the best. And then it's, other than Nintendo, nothing. Nobody's really been pursuing that. So I mean, it is
PlayStation
nice
sort of does, but...
Yeah, well, true. But I'm glad that so many companies are pushing hard for VR.
They did way more last gen than they did this gen, though.
There's a lot going on here.
Good luck, John.
It's called an ass whooping, and I'm getting spanked.
I mean he only has 13 HP, so if you can get in there somehow.
Get a bunch of flyers. Why don't you have any flyers?
My flyers are 1-1s for 0 that I usually end up buffing.
I see.
But I have to draw them, so...
In competitive / political news, there was a Twitch White House gaming marathon going on where competitive gamers for Street Fighter,
Rocket League.
Yeah.
Some CSGO.
I think some Counter-Strike, yeah. Some big competitive games. It was streamed on Twitch in order to help raise awareness for the upcoming health insurance deadline.
Yep.
Yeah. Which was pretty genius by Obama and his team. Just because if you think about it, the people that need this most are most likely not to sign up for it are the people in that play video games a lot in that age group.
Mm-hmm. People that make a living just from streaming, like doubtful they have health insurance.
I mean, and just pro gamers and people mm-hmm. that play games a lot that don't necessarily have high income. Kids,
that's
18
true.
To 25. Just like that's the age group, that's the demographic, that's the generation. But I mean, I don't know. It's really cool. It's I watched some of it myself. I watched the preparation stream. I didn't watch too much of the actual stream. They had a stream up early in the day.
Oh yeah,
for preparing for the marathon.
Oh okay, I watched. Go ahead.
But then I watched some of the actual stream.
Yeah, I watched some of the actual stream. I watched them play some Rocket League, and they had a couple of famous streamers playing the Trials game. What the fuck is it called?
Trials, I don't know. Evolution?
Trials Evolution. Yeah. Thank you, Josh. And then in between those two, they actually had somebody come on that worked, I don't know if directly at the White House, but sat there and did a step-by-step stream on how to sign up for health insurance through the website, and then they jumped into more streaming with other people.
Gotcha.
John is getting fucking stomped.
Not
going to
matter. Obamacare is not long for this world.
not in Trump's world.
Yeah. No. I don't... most people believe that he can't actually remove it, but...
We'll see.
Based on what I've read, it's pretty unlikely, I think. They'll probably end up having to modify it instead of completely removing it.
When you were watching the stream, how many other people were?
8,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
And it had a total of 60,000 unique watchers from the time it had started to the time I was there, or the time I turned it off, at least, because I did make a note to take a look at that stuff. My biggest problem with it was, I mean, I didn't mind them, like, making breaks in between the games that they were streaming to talk about, like, health insurance and how to sign up and stuff like that, but they had way too many breaks between everything, so, like, they could get people in and set up and stuff. Like, it didn't feel like there was enough going on behind the scenes to set up for the next step of the stream. So it was, and they played the most annoying fucking music during the holy shit, John.
You're dead. You're how? Why did it take him this long?
I couldn't tell you.
But... wow, John's being attacked by a good 15 creatures right now.
You're probably
oh, I'm dead. So dead. No, I know I was dead a long time ago. I don't even know why I didn't just surrender. I couldn't give up.
But yeah, so the stream was kind of hard to watch for 4 hours. I couldn't have done it. I watched it for like half an hour, 45 minutes. And they were literally taking breaks like every 3 to 5 minutes.
I'd imagine that's what most people did, though, is just kind of pop in and out.
Oh, I'm sure, you know? Yeah. And they probably went over like the same healthcare stuff over and over again. Like once an hour, show them how to sign up. Once an hour, talk about it, you know? So. Yeah.
Well, and I don't think anybody's going to give them credit for knowing how to run a great tournament.
True.
Yeah, like, I mean, but that's not what they were doing this for.
Yeah.
We got one listener over on our waitingforplayers.net/live site, Kelsey Landis. She says, no video is lame.
It is lame. Blame Comcast.
And I said, thanks, Comcast. And she replied with, you suck, Comcast.
Comcast does so much. I totally forgot we weren't doing video again tonight.
Oh, there's video tonight.
Oh, there's video. We're just not live streaming on Twitch. Right
yeah.
Now,
so.
You are live right. Still on the internet,
yeah.
Though.
Well, yeah, I knew that. Okay.
So this video will come out in a
couple days.
Probably.
Yeah.
I tricked you, bitch.
Yeah, you did. So I'm still bummed about that, though. I completely forgot we were having those problems. Fucking Comcast, eat a dick.
But we still got live listeners, so thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. So moving on from the White House.
Nintendo
wants you to hack them
for $20,000.
They say up to $20,000
at their discretion.
Yeah, and then later in the article, they're also like, "We'll give you $100 per thing that you find." And then at the very end, they're like, "Well, we're not going to announce money amounts or anything, and it all depends on how severe it is."
How important they think it is.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you're probably only going to get $20,000 if you find a way to send like kitty porn to someone's 3DS. Then they'll be like, okay, here's a shitload of money. We need to fix that. But I doubt people are going to make that much money.
No, more than likely, they'll give you a bunch of money if you find out a way that people can pirate games on it.
That's
easily.
True. Yeah, that's a very good point. Which I've got to imagine is... I actually don't know, Pete, how hard would it be to pirate a game for some like handheld cartridge like that?
Pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So they put in a lot of money into their DRM, and in those cartridges they encrypt the data so that only their hardware can interpret the game. And so while you're trying to copy that, you probably need to know, like, you probably need to figure out like a decoder in order to make it work so that you can start cloning the cartridges, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Usually, though, given time, someone figures it out. Most consoles in the past have.
Yeah. Xbox 360 is notable. Dreamcast, although Dreamcast actually didn't have any DRM, so it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
You just ripped the disc and then it worked.
PSP
really?
Yeah, that's why they went out of business.
Man. The original PSP got opened up completely.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had one.
Yeah. It was way better then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, throw some emulators on there. And
yeah. It's pretty sweet.
No, I think this is smart by Nintendo, though, to just, like...
They're going to get so many professional penetration testers,
exactly.
Like, looking into this and be like, I'm going to...
How can I make a quick buck off of Nintendo?
Bust your shit, Nintendo.
Yeah.
No, I think it's definitely a good thing to do. It's way better than when companies are like, oh, our system's unhackable.
Yeah, well, because they can just tempt it.
And then
yeah.
6 hours later,
right.
The whole thing comes down.
It's like, do you even know... history, you know, like yeah. all.
If you think you want to say that, just keep your mouth shut.
Remember this ship? Unsinkable.
Yeah.
So I heard.
Best ship ever.
That worked out.
But this
great.
Is not the first company to do that. Companies have been doing it for a while, all the way back to Netscape in 95, asking people to try and break their beta.
What's funny is when you ask people, there are people out there that are definitely going to do it. Like,
well, of course,
yeah.
But if
challenge
you're
accepted.
It, yeah.
Dude, for real, I'm going to laugh on some of them like, I don't even want your money, now I'm just going to F up your shit. Like,
well, but that's the thing, there's always going to be someone that's going to try to do it anyway.
Right, so
yeah.
Why
so
not?
So if they're
yeah.
embracing it and can get information back from it, you know, and give an incentive so that way the person will tell them
yeah.
instead of just releasing
or
it.
Or if you do get somebody that's just like, well, I'll take this opportunity to do it. and then just not tell them what I find, inviting it like that, there's a good chance that someone else is going to discover the same thing and tell you about it. So it's not like one person figures it out and then holds that information.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're good at penetrating, try and penetrate the Nintendo 3DS, which is specifically for the 3DS. They're not asking you to do anything else with the other consoles. It's just for the 3DS.
Could get you at least $100, it says. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and up to $20,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to give out that $20,000, though.
You're going to have to really
unless someone figures out how to pirate games, like, super easily. And it's just like, you're going to want to fix this.
Like, where everyone can do it just one click.
Yeah.
I hacked Nintendo Online Store.
You can download whatever you want for free just by doing this.
That's probably $20,000 worth.
Right, just like, we would have lost more than $20,000 worth of sales, so here you go.
What you do to get that through is that you hack it, and then you get, like, you on your own Wii, like, $10,000 worth of shit, and then you're like, oh, look at this Wii that I'm giving back to you that has all this fucking crazy shit on it.
Yeah, you should pay me.
I hope they're good about it, and if somebody does come
they're not
up with
super
a good,
cheap about it. Yeah.
If someone does find sued. A good exploit, they actually pay them a decent amount.
Yeah, as opposed to thanks.
It just makes me leery the at their discretion, which I know it should be anyway at their discretion.
Well, of course,
but
But I mean, it's still, at the same time, when you're inviting things like that, like, best not to piss those people off.
Right.
So you should pay them a decent amount.
Man, this guy is evil. All these bad guys.
You're
just getting snowballed
on.
It just got so much harder all of a sudden.
So have you guys watched Westworld?
I have not. I've watched an episode and a half. That's it?
I have watched it. It's very good. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I finished it.
So you guys are probably pretty excited about this, then.
Yeah, I am.
Peter, did you ever beat Last of Us?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. I think you and I are the only ones in the room that did.
I have started playing it.
And I have two copies of it, and I had a PS3. And someone never played it.
Yeah, that's my bad.
I'm going to play the remastered edition because Kirsten has it.
So. Yeah. I'm walking through my brother's version right now.
Nice. So I'm going to do that kind of closer to the release of the second one.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting now.
You'll be done way before then. Like, the game is so good.
If you got the remastered one, that comes with Left Behind.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nice.
Is that, what, DLC?
Yeah. Okay. It's like a 4-hour DLC, but it's real good. Real good.
Hey, free DLC.
Westworld co-writer is working on The Last of Us Part 2, which is why this is so interesting. I haven't watched Westworld, but I've heard really awesome things about it. So
good.
I can't imagine that's going to be a bad thing.
So did you finish it, Adam?
Yes.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Right on.
So is there another season?
Probably not until 2018.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be a while, but there's definitely going to be another season.
Yeah, there has to be.
Well, just because there has to be doesn't mean there's going to be.
All right, fine.
I'm pretty sure it was popular enough that there.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like season. HBO is smart enough that if they're going to release something, they're going to make sure that they can do a couple years.
It cost them a ton of money to make, though, didn't it? So that's
the pilot was $10 million.
Yeah. Wow.
Just the pilot?
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta watch the show now.
It's a really good show.
They also stopped shooting like halfway through because they hadn't finished writing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, they were gung-ho.
Yeah.
This is a book, though, is my understanding.
It's an older movie. It's an
older movie. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Like
from
the 70s, I think.
And then the old movie actually had a sequel called Future World, so.
Which was terrible.
Would still be cool if, like, in later seasons they investigate other parts of the park.
Yeah, just watch the show.
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother watching the old movie.
Yeah,
so.
One thing that I found interesting about this announcement with the co-writer of Westworld being attached to Last of Us already had an amazing written story.
Oh, my God.
There's no reason to go outside of Naughty Dog for that. Neil Druckmann did an amazing job. But if you're just going to add someone like this to the pot, then please do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's just one of those decisions that's just like, oh, why not?
Sure, like, let's do it.
It couldn't hurt.
Right?
It could only be a good thing.
Even if he was just a creative consultant for the writing of the story.
Oh, it's a chick.
Like, she, excuse me. Like, it's still going to be nothing but beneficial.
Yeah. I think, actually, it's probably smart because, like, a lot of Last of Us Part 1 is mostly Joel. It's mostly Joel's story, but, like, Ellie's got big parts in it. I think Last of Us Part 2 is going to be an Ellie story.
Yeah, it seems like it based on that
just
trailer.
On that one trailer, you kind of have to
completely focus on her.
But that would be
Joel
so that would be such a good change.
Oh, for sure.
That would be the best, like, in my like sequel. Like, I mean, maybe if they had like one or two playable chapters in Joel.
Yeah, just like you were Ellie. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It would just be and the same is true with those chapters in The Witcher, like playing as other characters.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Same in Metal Gear Solid, actually. So.
Yeah,
from time to time.
But I think this is only a good thing.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I'll eat my words in a year and a half when this story releases, and I'm like, you fucked it up.
It's terrible. You dropped the fucking ball.
Right?
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to be bad, though.
It's Naughty Dog.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been solid since Crash Bandicoot, guys.
This is true.
I just started replaying Uncharted 3.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I started playing Uncharted 1 over again.
It's so good. They're all so good.
3's the best.
I've beaten 1 so many times, though. Like, I don't know.
Does it have that much replayability?
Adam was going for trophies.
I was going for a platinum trophy.
Oh, all right. So. Fair enough.
Damn.
He got it.
I beat it on crushing.
Really?
Difficulty.
Normal, yeah. Dude. Normal's hard enough.
One shot, you're dead. Oh, you know.
Well, I mean, that's kind of real life.
Yeah, except for they can take like 10 shots before they die. Well,
you have to headshot everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rude.
I love that game. But
it was fun, though.
I forgot that 3 started in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I'm already like chapter 7 out of like a 20 chapter story, and I'm like, man, this is going quick.
Nice. Yeah, I just finished Titanfall 2, so now I'm going to start beating
How was that?
Last of Us. Good.
Was it?
Yeah. Dude, your completion rate is awesome right now.
Definitely worth picking up if you can find it. It frequently goes on sale for about $30. So.
Okay. So the single-player campaign's worth $30?
Yeah, I think so.
That's fair.
And you beat Gears 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, you are banging them out.
Nice. I haven't Start the Witcher.
Beaten a game.
I have re-downloaded it onto my PS4 because I had to erase it a long time ago as I ran out of space, but I finally put a 2 terabyte hard drive in there.
Oh, so. There you go.
I've been letting The Witcher sit on my computer because I never wanted to reinstall it, because I'm always like, I will go back and finish this game. Like, it will happen.
I think we're good for
news
X now.
Yes.
Oh, we're ready.
That's right, we're ready.
Yeah. So
after you've been stomped twice,
yeah, you could play.
Woo!
All right. So this is Hex Shards of Fate. It's basically a computer version of Magic, and when I say basically, it's a computer version of Magic. It is a straight up computer version of Magic.
Well, there are ever so slight differences.
Yeah. So like, there are, because it's a game. So like, my character over here. Actually, Pete, can I borrow that mouse from you for just a second?
Where's over here for listeners?
That's what I'm trying to say. Down here in the corner. So I've got spell power, and every
bottom
time
left.
You...
Thank you.
What? I got the mouse.
Audio listeners.
Oh, they can figure it out. They can't see it anyways. What good is bottom left? Like, they're like, okay, he's in the bottom left of the screen now. Perfect. I can visualize the whole game.
You can visualize the screen and then go to the bottom left of it.
I just love how Maddie got her screen.
You have this little counter here. Every time you play a shard, it adds 1 to it. And once you have 3, you can gain 3 to 5 at random spell power. And then you have 2 different spell abilities, which is soothsaying, draw a card, then choose and discard a card.
Is this specific to your race?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I have Embiggen for
class.
7 spell power.
This is
and target troop gets
class.
+3/+3.
So mage in this case?
Yes, so I'm a mage. And Embiggen is awesome because once you have the 7 spell power, you can let it sit and then cast it at any time. And so when somebody pulls like a fatty trooper goes to block you, you can just be like, oh, and he gets +3/+3 forever.
So those 2 abilities in the bottom left aren't activated right now?
No, they start to flash when they're... So this one only takes 4 spell power. So once you get this to 3 and you click it, then you can activate the draw card, discard a card.
Is it consumed?
Yes, they're like commander.
Then it burns
abilities.
Your spell power. Okay. I have a passive that allows me to start with 1.
I see.
Instead of 0. I also have a card in here that gives me a spell sprite or something like that. He's a 1/1 flyer for 0, and he also gives me 2 spell power. But, yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest differences, that the character you're playing actually gives you benefits. But there are similar game types in Magic, like Commander.
That's the vibe I got. Is
what the hell is a threshold?
Commander.
Threshold is your mana.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, that card takes...
Is that specific to
one
my
green? And it's one threshold.
So, I have one. A green... This green shard gives me green threshold.
Yep.
Okay.
That is exactly correct. And, like I said, everything about this is exactly magic. So all of the abilities the cards have
are...
What's
a basic action?
It's a sorcery.
Okay, okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to... I'm getting...
It works. So the... It's basically just magic. So if you enjoy magic, you're going to enjoy the game. It's got a story mode, so there's a storyline you're playing through in the game. They do have... so this is PvE that Peter's doing right now, and he's playing this weird tunneling...
60 health.
Oh, good sweet baby. Yeah, you're fucked. There's just no good way to put it, Peter. You're screwed. I've just really enjoyed it. So when you play through this... the storyline's pretty fun. It's nothing amazing. It's like a bunch of mini quests and stories. It's a good way to kill time before bed, though. You know,
where's the cost? Is that what is this?
It's a resource, and they gain thresholds that you need.
Gotcha.
It's a special one that you got because you have gnomes.
It's a rare land, Peter.
How do I use it?
Continue to the second main phase. Yeah. There you go. So. Yeah, it just goes by steps. Just like Magic, you only play one land at a time. Those are both lands. So if
These
you've
are,
already
okay.
played one, you can only play one.
Gotcha. Oh, so it's a resource type.
Yeah, you can completely customize your deck. Once you beat the tutorial is awesome in this game. If you've never played Magic, it would teach you how to play Magic, basically.
Really well, actually.
It's really time-consuming and monotonous if you do play Magic, because everything they're explaining to you as far as the phases of the turns... how spells and abilities stack, when you can play what. It's all exactly the same as Magic, so you don't actually have to learn it, but there's no way to skip it. Now, you do get cards from the mini quest during the tutorial, so I would do it anyways. I would just skip everything if you play Magic like I did, and then disregard. The only thing different about this game that I can find than Magic is that there are socketable cards. So cards that you can put a socket in that give them an added benefit. And they're usually pretty good. Like, it'll be like a 4/4/4 with a socket, and the list of sockets you can put in there is really long, and you can give it a neat buff. These wormoid grubs can blow me
not
with
to
their wormy
you,
fucking mouth.
John, but with the sockets, one thing I've noticed is you only socket one card, not that card type. So if you have four of the same card in your
you
deck...
You can socket them differently.
You can socket them differently, so each card will have slight variations.
Now... I don't know if it's the same because I haven't actually played PvP on this game yet where you play other people.
Neither
but
have I.
In PvE, in Magic, you can have four of one card. In PvE, in this game, you can only have three of one card in your deck. So you can't have more than that. There is no deck size limit. In fact, Garrett's playing a class right now, our friend, that if he plays with more than 150 cards in his deck, he starts with two spell power. But that's such a crazy thing to do because then you... 150 cards is like three Magic decks in one. Yeah. So how do you make like a maintain continuity throughout
deck.
The deck? Yeah, exactly. You have like three different things going on in there that are just
you'd
completely.
Have to build like you'd have to build a deck that focuses on like two or three separate builds as opposed to just one. At least until you mass a shitload of cards.
Yeah. Now you can buy booster packs, which is funny because they even the art online they drew them to look like Magic booster packs. With real money, which I have not done, because, well, I buy real Magic cards with my money, and so buying fake online Magic cards for a game that's not nearly as popular isn't that enticing to me. But you can also buy smaller versions of booster packs with in-game gold. There's also a card auction house where you can use your in-game gold to buy cards. So I went through today, and I bid on a bunch of cards that were less than 12 hours left on them or whatever, just put a bid on them because they were so low. And then I bought a bunch of cards outright for the buy and now prices because it was so cheap, you know, and you have plenty of in-game gold that I was just buying the cards I wanted to dress up my deck, which I haven't actually done yet. This deck was really strong until about these last, like, two or three bosses we've tried to play. I can't. They make so many creatures. He's got six creatures tunneled up
there,
Peter.
Can you explain this card here?
Yeah, it's a shard.
I know, but what does that mean?
So if you had a split deck like red or green and you had less red, it'd give you a red instead of a green.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is your deck all green?
That wording
it's all green, so it doesn't matter. It's just a green.
Wording
That's all
a little unclear.
You. What do you think about how it plays, though?
This deck?
No, no.
The game.
The game.
Yeah. It's good. This person can suck it.
Yeah, this person you're pretty boned on.
I don't even understand how you were supposed to beat this person.
I don't either. With a very specific deck, I would imagine. You can adjust them on the fly. Like, not in game, obviously, but once you're out of here, you could go back out and completely rebuild your deck and come back in and fight them. I don't like to have to rebuild my deck that often, so I usually try to find a way to make it work.
For a while, at least, yeah.
Yeah, well, I, like I said, it was really strong for a long time, and then now I just kind of hit a wall with these last people. They make so many champions, or, like, creatures, that I cannot maintain against them in a manner to which, like, I will ever win. Like, that guy, all those tunneled cards over there, once the tunneling's up on those, Peter's going to get bombarded, and they're not going to be small creatures. And there's just no way for Peter to put that many creatures into play to match it. Like, you need a bunch of blocking fodder or flyers straight up.
This is like a weird version of Suspend.
It's basically exactly what it is.
Except Suspend isn't face down. So yeah. At least you can plan for it. And this, it's just like, oh, what is it? Oh, it fucked me.
Yeah, they have to pay a tunnel cost to play it face down, and then they have to...
Oh, so there's a different, like, morph and suspend.
Exactly.
Weird.
Morph spend? I don't know. I can't put those together. Sysmorph?
That's what I was about to say, but it sounded dumb in my head.
Sysmorph?
So Sysmorph. Yeah, Sysmorph is about as good as we're going to get, I think.
We're just shmorphing cards. No, but the game is really fun. Some of the bad guys are freaking uber strong, which was really annoying at first, but then it just kind of drove me to change my deck around so I can stomp them. A seed pod will basically come out, and it has a counter on it, three turns. And after three turns, if the seed pod is still out, it'll transform into a random plant. So it could be a 1-1, or it could come out as like a 10-10 crazy expensive plant. It's just a nifty thing. It's a death cry. That's another thing I didn't think about. So in this game, you can actually... Your guy wears equipment. And so, like, if Peter scrolls over that Rotroot Enchanter again, you'll see that the bottom... The one you're looking at. Yeah. Death cry, summon a seed spot, is actually, if you look up the top left, I'm wearing a pair of sandals that gives him that ability.
I see.
So that's not a basic thing off of the card. It's the socket. Yeah. Well, it's not a socket, actually.
It's like equipment.
That's gear. Yeah, it's equipment you wear. And you have all the normal slots that you would have in most games.
Oh, so your mage has that. And it's just indicating that your mage has this.
Yeah, and if you click on that item in my inventory, for instance, it'll bring up the Rotroot Enchanter and say, now has Death Cry.
Gotcha.
Summon a seed pod if you wear those instead of something else. And so since I don't have a ton of gear or equipment... That benefits a lot of my cards, you know.
Well, I'm dead.
Farewell, Pete.
Oh, well, no. These guys are uber broken, man. Like,
if I got this card earlier, I might have been able to keep up with it.
Oh, the Lithe Lyricist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have them and the Merry Minstrels and some other ones that give you mana. It was kind of unfortunate you didn't get any.
Is there a less difficult opponent I could face?
Yeah. Well, actually, I think we're locked into this corner now.
What the
fuck? Because we're trying to travel with the gnomes. Because there's a ton of people. Let me see the mouse for a second. I might be able to get you out of this endeavor real quick. Yeah, because the problem was I took that quest where I have to travel, like, guide these fudge monkeys. Sorry.
Is there no way?
That was a really There's weird no thing way. To come back into.
Yeah, right? Fudge monkeys.
I'll try again. I'll be on the defensive this time.
Yeah.
You said fudge monkeys.
Hey, all right? I was trying to keep it clean for the listeners here.
Because that's something we do.
Yeah, all the time. Oh, you had a good hand, I thought.
There's like a gajillion gnomes in it.
Merry minstrels are good. They can put another mana into your hand. That one gives you health. So
nice. Okay. Cool. This is okay. I'm gonna keep this.
You can work with that.
This fine.
But all in all, so the game is was developed by Hex something or other.
Nice.
I can't remember. That's the developer is just Hex. All right.
Okie dokie.
Hold on. Let
Probably
me pull
like
back.
Hex Studios or something.
Yeah, I think it's just Hex Studios. And then the, man, I'm blanking. And I even looked it all up before because I wanted to be prepared. And you know how it goes.
Gameforge?
Yes, GameForge.
Nothing.
They
to do
also
with
made
at all.
Orcs Must Die, which I bought for you, Josh, and you never played. So I do appreciate that.
Fuck, I need to play that game.
Yeah, it's okay though. You
well,
know,
I was just bitching to you earlier about not having a game to play.
But they made that game, and see, if had you played the gift I gave you, you could have been like, oh, that's a good game, too, you know, and then we could speak to, like, two of the three games that they've published.
Or I could have just been like, it's all right.
In Josh's defense, he did buy us all speedrunners, and I don't think anybody's played it.
What? I played it.
I played it
here all the time.
Well, that's completely different than what I mean.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
It's actually, I think it's the same, just multiplied by four.
So this game really did get a tough rap on Steam because it's so similar to Magic. People just insta-hated on it.
Of course they did.
But that, I'm pretty sure that's what the developer was going for. Like, I don't think it was a surprise, you know? Oh, sweet. You got the spell dude.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter, down the bottom left, click the little blinky icon and get your spell power. Now you have eight. You could make a creature +3/+3.
For permanently?
And Bagan, yeah. And I would put it on your spell sprite because he's a flyer.
Yeah.
And now you can start dinking away on this guy. I mean, he's only got 60 health, so it should take no time at all with a 4/4.
So do I want to gain 3 health or do I want to play this artifact?
But yes, so the score rank on Steam Spy was, it's 29%. But the user score is at 69%, so it comes in at a D+.
When I downloaded it from Steam earlier today, it said overall was mediocre, whatever
was
the average.
Mixed. Yeah. And then recent is very positive.
Exactly, yeah.
I think the wild shard is that thing that you were like, what do I need do?
Gotcha.
I think that's what that is.
So the Merry Minstrels, when you play that card, the other one.
Yeah.
That one will give you another shard, too. So when you need mana, it's a good card to play, because now it's going to put another shard into your deck.
Gotcha. Wait,
is it? Yeah, create a wild shard and put it in your hand. Okay. Cool. I'm not crazy. I'm not losing my mind.
It just didn't happen.
But it got a meta score.
It didn't happen, though.
A meta score of 87%.
John's just rolling right over that
thing. Yeah, I'm just going to let it go because it's going to happen at the end of the turn or something.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. That makes a little more sense.
I honestly don't know. I thought it was a good one.
Peter, you got him.
I sure did.
That is really weird that it didn't give you a shard.
Oh, wait. It counts up. Okay, I made the wrong choice. Fuck.
Yeah, but 205,000 people own this game. But in the last 2 weeks, only about, you know, anywhere from like 7,000 to 11,000 because of Steam's plus, Steam Spy's plus or minus, have actually been playing.
It seriously didn't give him the thing.
No, I know it didn't give him the shard. I've never seen that before. I don't know how that happened.
Right-click on my card again. The one that's supposed to give you mana, that one?
Yeah. Deploy, okay. Create a wild shard and put it in your hand. Yeah, it should have put a green shard in his hand. And
glitched!
Yeah.
I've never had that happen that I've been aware of.
I've had a few glitch problems.
That I've been aware of.
I do sometimes steamroll right over things, though, so I definitely could have just played the card and then been like, everything's kosher.
I have hit a couple bugs in this when I was playing earlier today.
The only bug I've had is I went to the auction house.
I can't do that now? Oh, that's a declared offense first, which he can't. Yeah. So, and now it's my...
You have no mana, though.
Oh, is it cost mana?
It costs 2.
Oh, yeah. It does. Okay. Yeah. Damn. Okay, I played that wrong. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, no, one of the bugs that I hit was during the tutorial. It told me to do something and then hit continue, but the continue button didn't show up. So I had to sit there and just click around. I mean, obviously the continue button's big enough. I just had to click where it was supposed to be, and then it worked just fine.
Yeah, I got stuck on the lookup cards phase. Mm. No, but really, it's a... It's just Magic, you know, with a story mode and PvE. The company does weekly tournaments, and they give out in-game money that you could buy. So, like, if you had cash money, that's what the dwarves do. When they play that worm, the gnomes go back into your deck, and then you get to draw a card. But that'll take out a flyer. So... You can get, like, card packs and in-game money for winning online tournaments, and you can play online tournaments with decks you build off to the side, and you can just play straight PvP if you have no interest in playing these crazy-ass wonky computers that just wreck.
They are fun challenges, though.
They are, until you get to this guy who's got 60 health.
Can you double block things?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Okay, I'm gonna take this.
One thing that I did notice while I was playing this game is if you go to use, say, like, in my deck, because I'm playing it as well, I have a card that is... sacrifice a creature to make this card a 5/5, and it's normally a 1/1.
Yeah.
Once I activate that ability to sack a card, I can't change my mind. So I can't, like, even without selecting it, I can't go, okay, never mind, I actually don't want to sacrifice somebody. As soon as I select that ability to do, you're forced to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what's going to happen. See? You got a wild shard. Look, it happens every time. You guys just missed it the first time.
Did not.
In fact, that shard, we're going to go back to the footage on this one after the show.
And we're
going to see
not.
If that shard that he had was
so
there before
gonna
he
that.
Played the card or not.
I can't express to you how we're not going to do that.
I feel like you just
you could
did.
Do that on your own.
I'm not going to talk about the game all night. It's basically Magic. You got PvP and PvE on there. It's got a really fun story mode you can run through. You can buy cards online with your in-game money. Or you can spend cash if you're flush and you got all kinds of money to spend on online games with cards that nobody plays. But I find it really fun.
Fucker.
Garrett started playing it. Adam started playing it. Had Peter known it was free, he would have started playing it. I forgot to mention that point. It is completely free, which is probably the biggest selling point I can tell you right now, is that it will literally cost you nothing to play this game.
Unless you want to buy it. And I noticed that the packs that you buy with actual money seem to be like,
oh, they're just like a booster, just like a booster pack. For
yeah,
Magic.
So you get 15 instead of what, 7?
This thing's got 5,
yeah. And they also seem to be of different collections.
Yeah, there's different collections, just like Magic has different sets, like Kaladesh and Eldritch.
And so I imagine the one that you buy when a new deck or a new collection comes out, I imagine that the one you can buy for in game will be the newest one, and then this.
I'm not really
back.
Sure on that. That's all speculation.
It is speculation, but I'd imagine that would be the way that they would do it.
Okay.
Only 51 health more to go, Pete.
Yep, he's got it.
I'm going to fucking whittle this guy down.
The Howling Brave gives you more mana, too.
Does he? I was thinking about getting life.
Do it.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yes. He gives you 4.
Well, then I guess we're done with the show. Yeah. Peter's getting a life.
We're in need of a gadget.
We are. Okay, I got you some. I got 9 points off that guy, and we have 20 HP, so we're in pretty decent shape.
Okay.
That thing's got 5 tunneling. And I have no idea what its ability is, but it's probably not good.
You're probably pretty screwed, but here's the controls. Good luck.
Good game, bro.
Pretty much. So I'm here to talk about aerogels, which I was reading, or rather listening to an audiobook called Stuff Matters, which is just this material engineer, his PhD in material engineering, and he talks about a lot of stuff in the book. He talks about concrete, he talks about just different metals and crystal structures. He talks about chocolate, like the crystals in chocolate crystals. Apparently there are 4 types of chocolate crystals, if you didn't know that, and the way that they're developed. But he also has an entire chapter dedicated to aerogel. An aerogel is the man-made substance. It's the lightest solid in the world. It's frequently called solid smoke or solid air. It is a gelatin structure that, instead of having water in it, the water has been replaced with air. And aerogels isn't the one I'm going to talk about is the one that's most studied and the most interesting, and it's made from silica, but you can make aerogels out of pretty much, as far as they know, they haven't tried all of them, but there isn't any reason why you can't create aerogels with every element. With every solid element.
Yeah.
These things have incredible properties. So the one made out of silica it's got this crazy 1 gram or 1,000 grams per cubic meter. Which means that per cubic meter, 97% of this thing's volume is air.
Wow.
So it is so small. And, I wonder, Josh, could you possibly find Google aerogel and put an image up for us just so that people can...
yeah, it'll take a second.
No problem. Take your time.
Thanks.
We'll wait.
Oh my God.
So aerogel, this specific silica aerogel is transparent, but also strangely opalescent at the same time. And the reason...
What image do you want me to pick?
Just any, like, anyone that looks, like, blue and transparent, like they're holding a, like, weird ethereal cube.
Okay.
So this ethereal material...
Nice rhyme, Pete.
Nice. This is the picture
I was showing him how the thermal properties...
Oh, yeah. So the material itself is actually kind of blue, and the reason why it's blue is the same reason the sky is blue. It's just that when light comes...
It reflects off the ocean?
Yeah.
What?
No, I'm making a joke.
I hate you. when light from the sun goes through our atmosphere, blue is scattered more than all of the other colors, so the sky looks blue. Otherwise, it would look red if, for some reason, our atmosphere had a molecule in it that made red scatter more.
Yeah.
But because it's got oxygen in it, it looks blue. So when light passes through aerogel, which has a very low refractive index, which means it's actually technically more transparent than glass is. It's like one of the lowest ones that
we
know of.
It just scatters the color blue, blue smoke.
Yeah. And because this is like a foam, because if you think of a jelly like a water balloon, is the way that it's described in the book, is that the water balloon is the skin is not on the outside, it's through the entire structure. It creates this weird structure of really long molecules, that encase the water that would normally be in jelly. If you look at like jelly as the jelly you put on your sandwich, and so what they do to make these gels actually creates this foam. Except the foam is just mainly air, and it's the lightest foam in the world, essentially.
So
and
it's like a souped up sponge almost.
They do have forms of aerogel that are souped up sponges. In sponges, silica in this case works as a super insulator, is what they call it.
Okay.
And a super insulator, because like if you look at the way they make windows, they make two panes of window, and then they leave air in between, so that they're like it's like a vacuum, so that it can't transfer the heat. In this case, it's the same thing, except for every cubic inch, there's billions and billions of layers.
A hell of an insulator.
So in this that picture that he's got, there's a blowtorch under it, and there and a flower on top of it.
Yeah.
And so its melting point is 2,192 degrees.
Holy shit!
So it's so incredibly light. So they use it a lot. NASA uses it. CERN uses it because of its insulating properties. And NASA actually had a mission called Stardust where they used aerogel to capture the stardust from planets and comets, like using a big tennis racket full of this stuff.
John's about to die.
Because
sorry.
That's no problem.
Pete because, was doing so good, too, John, and then you ruined it.
Seriously.
Big ruiner.
Essentially, what they wanted to do is capture the stardust without melting it or damaging it, because it's moving at like 50... Like, what did they say? Like 18, like sometimes thousands of miles an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Or 50 meters a second or something like that, or 50 kilometers a second sometimes. So that what they wanted to do is they wanted to catch it without damaging it at all. And since aerogel is made out of billions of layers, and each layer is really, really soft, they caught the dust without doing any damage to it, because it just went through so many layers.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and now they actually, I don't know if you knew this, but the Stardust program, it's been around for like, they've had the sample for like 10 years, but now that they are going over so many cubic inches with microscopic photography to find all of the bits of stardust in this aerogel. So they opened it up to the public, and they trained people that you can look through the photographs to find the stardust.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't know about any of that, no.
And it's taken them years. They still haven't even done the whole thing. It's still going on. But it was just really interesting, the kind of awesome properties this has. And it's just... It looks like a science fiction material. Like, it doesn't look like anything that we exist in nature. So when you look at it, it makes you think of like Star Trek or something, or at least that's how I feel about it. But the inventor, I was trying to find his name, Samuel Stevens Kistler, invented it in 1931, and so he invented the best thermal insulator in the entire world in 1931, but no one really cared because it wasn't very important. And this guy actually died before they found uses for this stuff. I mean, now it's used in aeronautics. It's used, you know, by NASA anytime they need to insulate anything.
But, we weren't trying to go into space in the 30s, though.
I got an image of them.
But they didn't even start using it until the 90s.
Samuel.
Like, this guy died in 70.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, this is Dr. Robert H. Goddard. What the fuck? that's not what it was supposed to come up. What the fuck?
What?
It says Mason's Lodge and what? Fuck you, Google.
Fucking Google.
You're almost as bad as Comcast right now. You're killing me.
This guy actually started out as a farmer.
It's a picture of fucking Sean Penn. Why did this come? Sorry.
No problem. This guy actually started out as a farmer, and he and a friend of his were making a bet that you couldn't remove the water from jelly, like from actual jelly that you put on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so he did this on a dare, and he was a farmer and became a chemist, like, overnight, essentially trying to figure this out because of his fascination with jellies.
Now I have an image of him up.
Nice.
And he looks like someone who would take a dare about jelly.
Does he?
A little bit. My jelly's better.
How they make this stuff is incredible.
So, no, I believe it.
So essentially they create a gelatin, except that instead of water they use alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then they put make the silica structure, and they make the jelly, and then they put it in what's called an autoclave. And an autoclave controls pressure and temperature. So they control the pressure of the chamber so that no matter what, it doesn't get to vapor pressure, so the water or the liquid can't boil, and it can't evaporate.
Yeah.
So then they start raising the temperature, and essentially they reach this equilibrium where the liquid just turns into gas immediately. It's just gas.
Really?
Yeah. And now the jelly structure is still held during the process, and then they start evacuating the vapor, and air takes its place.
Okay.
And then now you have this weird science fiction material, and now they're actually making stuff called airloy, which is, because it's like glass, it's really brittle, so airloys are like foam, like industrial foams that are really strong that don't break and aren't water soluble traditional silica aerogel is.
Oh, right.
And so now they can like put it on in big sheets and it won't shatter or anything. It's got a lot of really crazy fucking nice properties.
I wonder if you could make the, can you make this, maybe you know from your research, can you make this into, say, like a cooking dish or like into other shapes other than just a plate?
You would mold it in however you wanted it, but
They can make it into jackets and stuff, but yeah, it works the same way as foams.
Okay.
And with foams, generally you create a silicone cast, like a mold, and then you fill that with after you've made it, you fill that with a two-part polyurethane or polyethylene kind of solution, and then you get your thing. So I bet you could do the same thing, and jelly works the same way.
Yeah,
that's right? True.
You could just pour it in, it hardens into jelly, then you put it in the autoclave, and then you do your work.
That's true.
What's next, Peter? Transparent aluminum?
Yes. What if they could make liquid aluminum into an aerogel?
I like that the website you posted for us is like actually has recipes on how to make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can make
if
it.
You, yeah.
I watched a YouTube video. It doesn't look as cool as it does store bought. I actually bought some of this stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I bought a disc of it. It didn't come in time. Otherwise, I would have had it.
Yeah. Speaking of bought stuff, did you ever get your fidget cube?
Not yet. They said that it should ship this week.
Right on.
Which means that I'll get it pretty soon.
And then there was another one you got recently, like over the last like quarter.
The auto nozzle or the
The aero nozzle or altered nozzle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
for the
it.
Kitchen
yeah.
sink.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten that yet either, but that should be here soon too.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to like I remember we got to do some gadget.
I've been
videos.
Getting updates from them, and I read last week that they're excited to say that they're going to ship next week. So
nice.
That was last week, I'm pretty sure. So it should be this week sometime.
Look forward to some New Year's gadget videos.
And when I get the aerogel, I'll
push them pretty hard
it
to get those out for Christmas.
What's that?
I've got to imagine that those Kickstarters that you backed are pushing pretty hard to get them out by Christmas.
I would hope so, especially something as simple as that. I mean, that's not that's not difficult. It's just really interesting science fiction material. And if you're really interested in this kind of stuff, I would recommend getting the book Stuff Matters. And I'll just tell you right here what the author is because I forgot his name earlier.
By Mark, oh, this Miodunnik. I'm sorry for butchering your name. So, but I love your book, and it's narrated by a British dude, which is awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to play that.
A little sample of the guy that reads it for you.
Yeah, he's got a smooth voice. but yeah, no, it's and this goes covers over many more materials. It covers graphene, it covers chocolate, concrete, and like the history around that. It covers just normal glass, and just how like our, and it's not just talking about the material, it's talking about how important this stuff is in your life and you don't even realize it. Like he just covers so much, and by the end of it you're just have a huge, he goes over plastic, a huge appreciation for like how this, all the different technologies it's used in, like just crazy stuff. It's really awesome. And just like he talks about how Romans had concrete and then how like concrete essentially disappeared.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, yeah, because so essentially, in the book, he talks about how there was this city that was next to a volcano, like open magma pits, and what the stuff that this magma pit spit out was essentially cement, and so they would build all of their buildings with this stuff, and they were able to. That's one of the things that he was talking about. He's like that cement and concrete are made for empire building, because you use the cement from the location you have the cement, you start building a road.
That's
that
true.
Now you're taking your concrete along the road that your concrete is building to other places, and you've built an empire. And that's how, like, part of the reasons the Romans were so powerful was because of all these different materials. Same with glass. Like, they had invented glass, and glass didn't, like, just disappeared for a while until someone else found it again.
Makes sense, though.
But and then they're talking about the difference between cement and concrete. Like, apparently with concrete, the biggest thing is having steel in it.
Oh, like rebar running through.
Yeah. No, just steel in general, though. It doesn't have to necessarily be rebar, right?
But right. I mean, well, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
right.
But
some sort of reinforcing.
Yeah, but yeah. Because apparently there's a chemical reaction between the fibrils, so these like different connecting molecules between metal crystals, that and there's a chemical bond that's created between the concrete and the steel that makes it really strong. Otherwise,
really,
concrete is really prone to cracking and falling apart, which is why most Roman structures were built in domes, so that all of their pressure would go in on themselves, so they wouldn't crumble.
Makes sense. John gets the first win of the night.
See, I always assumed that like metal was put into concrete, especially like for like roads and stuff, in case it does crumble, it doesn't just crack in half. There's something they're holding, and I never would have thought about there being a chemical reaction between the two substances.
And there's a reason they say concrete set instead of dry. Because concrete doesn't actually dry at all. The water is reacting inside the concrete.
Constantly?
And, yeah, and so the water becomes a part of the concrete because of the chemical reaction. It doesn't actually evaporate or anything.
Yeah, which is what drying is the lack of moisture inside of something.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm learning all kinds tonight.
Yeah, man, this book is really cool. And the way that he describes chocolate, like, through chemical reactions, it's really sexy. I mean, I'm just like, God, I want to have a bunch of chocolate now.
Honestly. And your babies.
And your, well, probably to the narrator more than the author. Or both. Uh-huh. Maybe we can
figure something out. Maybe you can
figure out a sandwich. Hey, man.
Out a sandwich. So if you're interested in aerogels, I would go to aerogel.org. We put that up on our website. That has recipes like Adam was talking about and just discussing like the process. It's really interesting stuff.
Did anybody else have a problem with the website today, or is it just me?
I got onto it. It's a really informative website.
Yeah, it was good.
Definitely worth checking out.
And that one talks about the different types of material used for aerogels, like carbon aerogels and stuff, and the different properties they have.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you can make them flexible.
Oh, one more thing I would say about the inventor of this. He made the lightest meringue in the world by making an aerogel out of egg whites and then evacuating the liquid and then putting in air. But so it's still like, it's like a meringue, but it's like 97% air.
Can you still eat it?
You would still eat it, I bet, unless you use some whack-ass chemicals.
It is the most angel food cake.
Exactly. I wonder if you would even like, is it more delectable? Or less delectable.
You just put it in your mouth and it evaporates.
Yeah,
it's delicate.
It was never even there. if you want to check out more materials in just of any kind, I would go check out Stuff Matters, Exploring the Marvelous Materials thing. Oh, my God. Stop it, Mark. Stop it, Mark.
Was that sexy voice you were talking about, Peter?
Materials that shape our man-made world.
So,
well, there you go.
How many of these fucking cards has he got? Every time I play a troop, he kills him.
As we're winding down here, we have a brand new Gentle Jousting video out. It was released last week.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That was
trying to get in all the butts.
That was just me, Adam, John, and Peter. But I think later this week, if I play my cards right, I'll have a 6-player Gentle Jousting video out.
With drunk people?
No, we weren't. No.
Oh, why not?
Because it was a meeting you missed.
No, I mean, what? But we're going to have Drunk Friday Gaming, right?
Well, that's... Yeah, but that's going to take me like a month to edit that
stuff. That's in the future.
Jesus, yeah. Peter.
That's why you have to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
So or you could edit it, and it, you know, it'll be out next March.
Yeah, we can do that.
But yeah, I think that's it. All the regular socials and stuff, and...
Subscribe, like, share, all that good shit.
Tell a friend.
Are you willing to trade sub for sub? Like, if someone subscribes to us, we'll subscribe to them on YouTube.
Depends, as long as they don't suck.
We don't.
I feel it's fair.
It's a solid criteria.
As long as you don't suck as bad as we do, or worse than we do. I mean.
Yeah. Are you good there?
Let's get out.
I'm gonna lose again.
John, knock it off.
I can't.
Stop dying.
I can't.
Skate better.
All right. So I'll see you guys next week. Bye. We'll be right back.